This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Tuesday to you. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It's a Trash Tuesday, everybody. So get us your trashes. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. You can always dial me up as well to bring your trashes to the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We are stunned to a news coming up in 20 minutes, and in 40 minutes, our trash is on a Trash Tuesday. An hour from now, Ben Volen's going to join us from the Boston Globe, lead NFL writer there on the marriage between Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. So 23 years ago on Sunday night, was the Tyson biting Holyfield's ear. And no matter what else happens in Tyson's career, he, of course, was the baddest man on the planet back in the 80s. His incredible knockout montage on YouTube is a sight to behold. His appearances in The Hangover. How he's kind of become this lovable gentleman of sport now is kind of crazy. But in 1997, Mike Tyson was a madman that you did not know what would happen. Anything could happen, and that would be within the sphere of reality for Mike Tyson. I mean, anything. So the night of the fight against Holyfield, 1997, was actually the day of my high school graduation. That day, 1997, I had graduated from high school, and my high school had planned something called an all-night party. So this was supposed to be a way to keep kids safe graduation night. Instead of having people go out to parties and drink and potentially drive and put themselves in dangerous situations, the high school hosted an all-night party for all of us grads, and it was pretty tame, lame affair. It was... they catered it with food, some pizzas, what have you. They might have had taco bar or something like that. Whole bunch of sodas. And then they played movies and there were games and we got the fight. So at one part of the all-night party was a screen. Back in those days, there was no like flat screen plasma. It was one of those larger TV screens that you watch movies in social studies class. But we got the fight. And so, you know, this fight probably goes off, man, around midnight Eastern time. So this is a long day for me. This is waking up really early for high school graduation, getting the whole family together, getting dressed, getting the cap and gown, making sure that you look okay. And I was senior speaker that year. Surprise, surprise. There were two speakers at our graduation. One was valedictorian. I was definitely not that. I, though, was senior speaker. So I do the senior speaker speech. There's a lot of references to Saved by the Bell and Different Strokes and a lot of other pop culture references. It goes off relatively well. And now I'm like, I'm exhausted. It's a hot late June day in New York. It is a long day, emotional day. You see your friends, you see your family. This is kind of a monumental moment in your life, a real benchmark milestone moment in your life. And on top of it, now I've done the speech. So I kind of just want to relax. We go home, take a shower, take off the cap and gown, and then right around dinner time, I think it was get back to the high school for all-night party. So I'm there, some of my friends. Obviously, a lot of us wanted to hang out with other friends, but, you know, the whole deal was if everybody's going to be at this all-night party, then we should all probably go because those are the people you want to hang out with anyway. So at least we get to see the fight. School paid for it, so free way to see the fight. Okay. So you have to imagine this extraordinarily emotional day and big day and exhausting day culminates at about midnight or 12:30 with Mike Tyson freaking biting off Evander Holyfield's ear. And I'm like, what is going on right now? Is this possibly reality? And there are all of these kids, 18-year-old kids, that never watched a boxing match. You know, these high school girls or these guys that weren't into sports. And they're like, what is happening? And everyone's like, yeah, Mike Tyson just bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. He did what? He did what? What is... And you could only imagine watching this with way more people than you know and way more people that are kind of delirious and sunbaked and dehydrated and really don't know what their future's going to look like as you ponder what your future is going to look like and you're saying goodbye to the people that you've seen for the last 12 years of your life almost every day. You're also trying to absorb that Mike Tyson has bitten off Evander Holyfield's ear and Holyfield is bleeding and he's jumping around the ring with his boxing glove over his ear and the refs and officials are trying to find the ear on the canvas of the mat. And I'll just never forget how absolutely bizarre and out of body that experience was. We all have kind of like a handful of these out of body experiences in our life where you remember going, this can't be real life. I think many of us are going through that right now. I think for these last 3 months, these are all very out of body experiences saying we must be in some type of sci-fi movie. This must be some type of simulation. This can't actually be real life. That was this night for me 23 years ago, 1997. Graduation night, all-night party at the high school, getting bleary-eyed. This would last until I think we were allowed to leave at like 5 a.m. or something like that. So you were supposed to stay up for the entire night until sunrise. Then you could leave and go home. And of course, everybody slept at home for the duration of the day. But in the middle of this, watching Mike Tyson bite off Evander Holyfield's ear. And I just was saying to my buddies, this is definitely something that is from a script of a bizarre, ridiculous horror film that dabbles in sports, but isn't quite a sports event. Now, we would have Evander Holyfield versus Tyson 3, and Tyson's career after going to jail was never quite all that satisfactory. It always felt like what Tyson could have been was all before he went to jail. After he went to jail, it was just kind of a lot of a sideshow, but it's been amazing to watch him become this kind of beloved character. And Mraz, I wonder, is the pivot point in Tyson going from bat bleep crazy, what is this guy going to do next, to beloved, kind of gentle, thoughtful, cannabis-loving grandfather? Is it the Hangover movie?
I think it is, for my generation of anybody in their young 30s. The Hangovers, especially the original one, are looked at as kind of like this cult classic comedy. You can't get enough of The Hangover. And his appearance there, where he's doing the fake drumming, and then he has the knockout, and then he appears in Hangover 2. Like, that to me is something that people love Mike Tyson for. They laugh at. He's kind of with his voice and everything. Everybody loves him. Then he's in Comedy Central Roast after that. And he kind of became, for lack of a better term, very much a pop culture phenomenon, more than just the crazy boxer that you never know what he's going to do next. I think, to me, that scene in The Hangover planted his flag that it was okay to laugh and enjoy Mike Tyson. And since that moment, Mike Tyson has been a part of commercials, been a part of other late-night TV, and Mike Tyson's kind of everybody's crazy, lovable uncle ever since The Hangover.
Yeah, The Hangover allowed people to laugh with Mike Tyson. Before that, people were laughing at Mike Tyson and saying he's crazy, he's out of his mind, what's he going to do next? He's a sideshow, he's a circus freak. And then Tyson was in on his own joke in that movie where he's got the tiger and he's got, remember the face tattoo? That was really, really crazy. He had a tribal face tattoo and people are going, what is going on? What happened to you in jail? And then after that, Mike Tyson seemed to become just a kinder, gentler, easy to like Mike Tyson because he was laughing at himself and what he used to be. And now when you hear interviews about Mike Tyson or from Mike Tyson, Tyson's very aware of the person he used to be versus the person that he is now. He has made quite an amazing evolutionary leap in terms of becoming a better Mike Tyson. So it's really easy to root for Mike Tyson these days. But in 1997, when he's biting off Evander Holyfield's ear, which was basically 23 years ago, two nights ago, so 23 years ago this week, it was impossible to believe that we would ever get to a point in time where Mike Tyson was the lovable grandpa of boxing.
Real quickly, Dave, were you sleeping over the school? I'm very confused by this whole night party.
Yeah, nobody was supposed to sleep. You just stayed up throughout the entire thing.
So they had you guys graduate and then just stay up and hang out with all your friends all night and then would leave at like 7 in the morning or something?
Yeah, I think it was like 5 or 6 in the morning you were allowed to leave. They wanted everybody at the school, which, look, for a safety precaution graduation night, it made sense. You know, okay. Drinking and driving was a big deal, still is, obviously. They didn't want people being in unsafe situations. Worst thing that would have happened in my smaller community would have been a kid getting really hurt with a drinking and driving accident. So it kept everybody safe. It was a pretty lame party, as you might imagine, thrown by the school. But, you know, their intentions were good. It did do exactly that. We didn't have any bad situations happen that night. But, yeah, it was let's stay up and watch movies and play games like cornhole and watch the Tyson fight and eat pizza and drink soda. And then, you know, basically you're in lockdown until it's like coronavirus quarantine. We were in lockdown up until like 6 a.m. And then we were released to go out and to, you know, we could then eat at 50% capacity at outdoor dining establishments.
So did the fight save the party? Because without Tyson Holyfield that night at midnight, that's a good late night thing to look forward to at that party.
Yeah, it was huge because it happens late night. It wasn't like we got to get there at 7 o'clock, then the right. fight goes off and you have nothing to do after 9 o'clock. It saved it because it broke up the party into two halves, early half, dinner, whatever, having fun, play some games. Then you watch the fight, and then you've got like 5 hours to go or so. It's kind of an endurance test as well, I think. I kind of forget. Maybe there was music being – yeah, there was definitely music being played. I guess people were supposed to dance. I don't really remember dancing at all. But, yeah, the Tyson-Holyfield fight happened squarely in the middle of the most bizarre night. I'm trying to stay up with – people that I graduated high school with in the school gym. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Ah, it's too much.
So what a cool play by the Atlanta Hawks, because they've got a Georgia primary in the state coming up August the 11th. And of course, the presidential election coming up November the 3rd. And if you've been following the news, Georgia has shuttered a number of its polling booths, polling areas. I think that actually during the most recent one last week or 2 weeks ago, they shut down like 95% of the previous polling locations from the previous 2016 presidential election. I believe that's the number that I saw. So anyway, there's been a real crimp put on, a pinch put on polling places of the state of Georgia. And I love what happened here because the conversations between the Hawks coaching staff and their front office were looking for ways to be part of the solution. Okay, they were looking for ways to help out their community. They were looking for ways to help empower their citizens and their fans, which is great. I mean, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are on, you have to be in favor of pulling the lever, of actually having a voice, of being engaged enough to make a vote, to have a vote. And it is so vital. I mean, even in presidential elections, oftentimes we'll have like 25% voter rate, which is ridiculous. One out of every four people, that three out of every four people stay home and feel like their vote doesn't matter, or are discouraged or apathetic or don't care or aren't informed. I mean, that's just really terrible for the type of country that we are to have that low of a voter turnout. And so if you know that 95% of your polling locations have been closed and there's going to be really long lines, you are once again discouraged of going out and actually having your voice. And what the Hawks said was, this Hawks said as a team was, you know what, let's make our arena a big polling location. And remember, during coronavirus, there's a lot of restrictions and social distancing. There's fewer booths and longer lines and all of this type of stuff, longer queues. And so it's going to be more problematic coming up in November. But what the Hawks are doing is they're taking their arena, State Farm Arena in downtown Atlanta, and saying, we are going to be one giant voting center for Fulton County in Atlanta. And to me, this makes so much sense and makes me so encouraged on multiple levels. Number one, it's a front office and a team thinking about doing something more than just talk. You know, it's really easy to send out a press release. We stand with this. We stand with that. We don't stand for this. We don't stand for that. That's really easy. But what's harder is actually doing something in real life that helps people. And what the Hawks are actually doing is they're saying, let's find something that logistically helps people and something that we can all get on board with. We all believe that more people should vote and use their voice. I don't think there's many people that are listening right now that believe in voter suppression. So no matter the voice, no matter the vote, I think this is a great thing. Okay, let's find ways to actually do real stuff for people and not just send out press releases or stupid tweets about it. Number two, so many of our stadiums are built with our money. You know, all of these teams and all of these owners leverage their cities and their counties to get free stadiums. And what do we get out of it? Yes, our teams stay put. And yes, we have nice places to go watch sports. But we are directly paying twice to go see the game. We pay for our tickets and our parking and whatever food or drink we want and our tickets. But we also pay to have the damn thing built. And what does it do for us? Nothing. All it does is it houses concerts we pay to go to and games we pay to go to. And here is our arena working for us. I love finding ways to do this, and I hope this is the future. I want to see taxpayer facilities like football, basketball, and baseball stadiums being used for community purposes. In New York City and the tri-state area, people paid for Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, MetLife Stadium, go down the list. You know what we're allowed to do in those stadiums? Pay for a ticket to go watch an event. That's the only thing they have for us. You get to pay to go see a concert or a game. That's it. You don't get to go there on off hours. Oh, it's open for public green space. You don't get to take batting practice there. You don't get to go there and sit down and have a walk in the park. During coronavirus, there's a million people, a million places in New York City. They don't just open up the stadium and go, you know what? Here's some nice green space for you. Go read a book. Take a walk. Okay, get some exercise. Stretch your legs. No, you don't get to do anything in there. The luxury suites aren't open for study sessions. They're not open for business conferences. They're not open for schools. They're not open for anything at any time. Camps can't just go, you know what? We got no safe space right now in coronavirus. We should be able to go to MetLife Stadium. We've got tons of acreage of land here. You can't do anything. The fact that they're using the stadium to do something for the community is what we should be constantly striving for. We pay for these stadiums. We pay for these arenas. That happened in Fulton County. They help pay for this arena. They should get some use as a community out of it. And so for the Hawks coming together and making State Farm Arena a place of a polling location, a safe, clean space with the resources of $1 billion industry and corporation behind them, being the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA, Bravo. I'm thankful that they found this solution. I'm thankful that they're looking to be part of the solution. And I'm thankful that this should be the start of something. When November the 3rd comes, more arenas around the country should be open for people to vote in. They should be places of safety and efficiency for us, the citizen. I'm glad the Hawks are doing this. I hope it's the start of a change in thinking. How can these arenas and stadiums help out the community? Atlanta, Fulton County needs polling locations, and the Hawks Arena is going to be one large one for them. Bravo. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, Mornings, Mothership.
Yo, DA, been a loyal listener since the overnights, my friend. You got me through many a night.
Hey, DA, you got the best show around all day, every day.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Cam Newton. 1 year incentive-laden deal with the Patriots, the former MVP. Trying to prove himself after a foot injury took him out of the season last year, leading to his eventual departure from Carolina. We will talk to Ben Volin from the Boston Globe about the relationship between Cam and the Patriots moving forward, coming up here in about a half hour from now. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger, for all of the ones who get it done. There's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus over 24/7 customer support and product specialists always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com. To Trash Tuesday, so let us know what you're trashing. What are you annoyed by? Who are you annoyed by? And we will read through those or hear from you guys coming up throughout the show. We'll get to our trashes in about 15 minutes from now. And remember to watch the show at watchda.com, available on any device. Andrew Bogish is in for your headlines this morning. AB, I will ask you the same question I asked Mraz. Do you remember where you were when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear 23 years ago this week?
I don't, which I think means that I was probably asleep. Unlike you, I was not kept awake by my high school.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that fight started somewhere after 11 Eastern. And I'm not the hugest boxing fan. So I definitely saw this the next morning.
What did you do the night of your high school graduation?
We graduated on a Saturday afternoon. Nothing crazy. And my high school was very spread out. So when I went home, I didn't have anyone near me, like from my school, to hang out with. So we probably went home and had a party at my house, but nothing as elaborate as your little shindig.
Yeah, I don't know if elaborate's the right word for my shindig.
No, that's elaborate. Staying
all right,
up all night, movies, refreshments. It sounds like you were locked into the field house. I mean, it's just, that's elaborate.
Yeah, that's basically true. Yes, we were locked into the field house. Padlock on the front of the door. Nobody's leaving here.
You guys probably graduated high school on the same day. You're the same age. I would assume, Bogus, you probably graduated.
No, Bogues was class of 98.
Yeah. What were you, class of 97?
Yeah.
Aren't you both the same age?
No, Bogues is a year younger than I am.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought same calendar year. Never mind. My math's off. I'll bow out.
By the way, speaking of Bogues' impeccable high school and college record, he is up for vote via Fordham. I don't know if you saw this, but yeah. Fordham's broadcast school is doing a vote of the best decade of their sports broadcasters. And the decade of the 2000s includes Bogish specifically. Now, we've had one of his colleagues, Mike Yam, on the show from the Pac-12 networks. Tony Reale from Around the Horn is also part of that crew. And Ryan Rucco, who does a lot of games on the YES Network, baseball and basketball, and on ESPN as well, also part of the crew. Am I forgetting anybody from that? Oh, Spiro Dedis as well.
Yes.
Spiro, who's so joined us on the show, right, as well. He is an NFL and college basketball broadcaster for CBS.
Former voice of the Knicks and the Lakers. So it's a bunch of people who don't need Sean's career advice and me.
Andrew
up against the decade of the 80s, which is Mike Breen, Michael Kay, Charlie Sloz. They've included Chris Carino from the early 90s, who's the voice of the Nets. So, I mean, this is David and Goliath, and this is the end of a month-long Fordham Athletics little social media program. They've done different decades of different teams all the way through basketball, women's basketball, soccer, baseball. And the last one, they threw the WFUV legacy in here. So we are fighting an uphill battle. So if anybody wants to vote starting at 9 this morning to help us steal a win from Breen and Kay and company, please do
so
through our athletic social media accounts.
We need to mobilize the D-Aliens to help out Bogus on the vote here.
So, I mean, Bogus, where do we go to vote? I still don't know.
The Hawks Arena. Yeah.
Exactly. Rock the vote.
Yes. And I will tweet out an Uber code to get you to Atlanta from wherever you are in the country to vote, because I'm the only one in this entire operation that this matters to. Everyone else has real awards and real accomplishments. I need this. So I'll take whatever I can get.
Where do I vote for Breen?
Right, that would be a Pete move right now. Pete would cancel out one of our votes.
Chris Curino all the way.
Voted for them. But again, I asked Pokes, where do we go to vote?
So it's all the different Fordham social media accounts, which I think are all now branded as Fordham Rams.
Bogues will tweet this out, and then we will retweet it from Bogues' account.
Yes. All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, and you can't vote till 9 Eastern this morning, so you got 90 minutes to prep and to get to Atlanta.
And then how long do people have a window to vote? Is it all week?
I think it's just 24 hours.
Okay. All right. So for the 24 hours, we're going to tweet this out and then promote this over the next 24 hours. We got to get Bogus' class the win here, because Bogues deserves the W over
something.
Mike Breen.
Yeah.
I think we all know that Breen's going down in this vote.
That Breen has zero idea this is happening. And here I am begging America for votes.
Breen's on a beach somewhere.
As Breen preps for the NBA Finals, we're trying to take him down in a poll. He has no idea is actually going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Spiro's at an NFL conference. Ruko and Breen are getting ready for the NBA. Ruko and Kay are getting ready for Yankees baseball. Reality's making millions on TV. And here I am hoping to win a popularity contest.
Fair.
Yep.
I can't wait till we get Bogues the win and then we start taunting Mike Breen. Yeah, Breen! You're going down, bro. We beat you. He's like, what happened? What did we vote for?
Breen, you're not as successful as the stun to a news guy.
What did we lose?
Bang.
If I win, I have the third Van Gundy brother as my partner for updates for the rest of the week.
Bogues is our headline this morning. AB, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage Classic, changing the course for Detroit. Find out more about how the Rocket Mortgage Classic is connecting the community at rocketmortgageclassic.com. NBA players continue to weigh their off-court priorities with finishing their season at Disney World. The league and union reportedly planning to paint Black Lives Matters on all three courts in Orlando. The WNBA may do the same thing, and their players would like to wear warm-up shirts that honor Breonna Taylor, who was killed by Louisville police back in March. As for the games in Orlando, Nets center DeAndre Jordan is out after testing positive for COVID-19. Teammate Spencer Dinwiddie has it too, but hasn't said anything about his playing status. And no John Wall in Orlando. The Wizards guard declared himself 100% healthy last month, but the team is leaving him out of their traveling party. Wall had foot surgery back in December of 2018, then tore an Achilles during rehab, so he's been off the court for a very long time. Amani Bates will be in the NBA one day, but first, maybe Michigan State. Bates will be a high school junior in the fall. He's a top recruit, unquestioned in that class, and maybe the best in a decade, according to some. Bates committed to Sparta yesterday, although the assumption remains he will not ever play college hoops. Washington National Ryan Zimmerman will not play this summer, citing his newborn child and his mother, who has MS. Zimmerman says the decision is only for this year. It is not the beginning of retirement. Teammate Joe Ross, Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond, and Arizona righty Mike Leake have also opted out of the shortened season. Leake's agent did not give a specific reason for the choice, but said Leake and his family have been considering many options, most of which are personal. Leake would have made $16 million over a full season. He'll be a free agent this winter. And then there are the Mets. I was going to mention this yesterday, but didn't have time. I thought we had finally reached the limits of the Mets' shameful marriage with minor league outfielder Tim Tebow when Timmy was left off the Mets' 60-player pool for summer camp, which again opens tomorrow. But like every other team, the Mets have opened spots in that pool, and Tebow is reportedly under consideration for one of those spots. Now, some of them have gone in the last 24 hours to Melky Cabrera, pitcher Hunter Strickland, and utility man Gordon Beckham. Yoenis Cespedes is on that list, too.
Yoenis had a pretty good night last night.
Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen wants Yo at DH this summer.
We're optimistic. You know, his bat can be a real impact and be a little bit of a separator for us as we compare ourselves to the rest of the teams in the league.
Cespedes has only played in 39 games since 2017 because of his various ailments. The Ivy League is reportedly considering two alternatives for football in the fall, a 7-game conference-only schedule that will begin in late September and end before Thanksgiving, or shifting everything to the spring. Arizona is pausing the return of players because of the coronavirus spike in the area. Groups of 20 students have been returning to campus each Monday recently. The school says there's only been one positive in 83 tests so far. And NASCAR has canceled its Champions Week event set for early December in Nashville. The three series winners will still be celebrated in various ways to be determined, and Champions Week will go back to Nashville next year. And now, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Ohio petitions are the new Florida man because this state cannot get rid of its Christopher Columbus memorabilia fast enough. Again, not to make light of a serious debate, but last week we got two stuns off the push to rename Columbus Flavortown.
Yeah.
DA, you missed the second one because the person who organized that petition has had, for unspecified reasons, to back away from the movement, partly because he can't physically go to Ohio at the moment to deliver the petition to City Hall. So we had that on Friday. Today, we have a smaller movement to replace a Columbus statue in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood with a statue of Chef Boyardee, the real man, Ettore Boyardee. He came to Cleveland back in 1917, began cooking in a hotel. 7 years later, he and his wife opened their first restaurant. Then 4 years after that, they expanded to factory production. And now you can get spaghetti and meatballs in a can from Chef Boyardee. And a statue of him is being suggested in lieu of a Columbus statue in glorious Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, I have to admit my ignorance here. I didn't realize Chef Boyardee was a real person. Apparently, Chef Boyardee, as you said, Ettore Boyardee was actually an Italian immigrant that came here near the turn of the century. He was born in Italy. He started cooking in a hotel. His pasta, his spaghetti and meatballs, became renowned around the Midwest. And Chef Boyardee began making American rations for World War II. And back in the 20s and 30s, he started doing Chef Boyardee stuff where it would be prepackaged, uncooked pasta, a jar of his sauce, and a little canister of Parmesan cheese. And so people around the Midwest would buy these prepackaged pasta dinners, and Chef Boyardee was born. And his name isn't Boyardee. He changed it because Americans might not have been able to pronounce his normal Boyardee, which is spelled Boyardee. So Chef Boyardee is really like Chef Boyardee, and he's a real guy. And frankly, this doesn't seem so crazy. I mean, yes, we think of Chef Boyardee as this kind of like comical little caricature of an Italian pasta chef, but he was a real guy. An immigrant to the United States that built a $1 million company. He was a real chef. He did it in Cleveland. Guys, I kind of think this is a win. A Chef Boyardee statue.
I,
I agree, and I think it would help the legacy of him a bit to, for those now being born into only expecting to crack open a can and put it in a pot with little mini meatballs and little SpaghettiO kind of things for Chef Boyardee, that people will realize this guy was a walking, living legend. Chef Boyardee is actually an American hero. He is everything we should aspire to be when you come to this country. I
Mraz,
love Chef Boyardee.
Did you think that he was a real guy, or did you think he was kind of like a caricature cartoon?
I knew he was a real guy, which just shows you my American history. I don't know a lot of stuff, but I absolutely knew that. Yeah,
God
Chef
bless.
A real guy.
I
Chef
had no idea.
I believe I've used Chef Boyardee in this argument, DA, in past shows where everybody has made fun of the jarred sauce game, and all of my wife makes her own sauce. My big supporting part of jarred sauce was all of these sauces are like the best sauces that these chefs made that now ended up being packaged and commercialized, and Chef Boyardee was the forefront of that, and that's why I don't think they're trash, because they were so good they got packaged.
Well, I oftentimes refer to myself as Chef Boyardee, so I'm very pro.
Of course you do.
I'm very pro this statue. I got to ask, do you like Chef Boyardee, Mraz?
I mean, define like.
We can be honest. We can be honest.
I mean, I would not jump to have it for dinner, no, but I would be lying if I told you in my childhood I didn't look forward to coming home from school and cracking open a Chef Boyardee and pouring it in a pot. So okay. I liked it for where my taste buds were at that time.
Okay.
A mid-30s Mraz does not like Chef Boyardee, no.
Yeah, I kind of hate it, and I had it growing up, and I kind of hated it then, too. So my question is, just how much better was Chef Boyardee back in the 40s when he's actually making the pasta, putting it in a jar, and selling it? I mean, what we're getting now has got to be a far cry, because that sauce that you get now can't be what made him famous.
No. And I'm sure because of the commercialization and over time, a little carelessness without Chef Boyardee's fingerprint on it, it has certainly not been the same. But I would imagine a 1940s pot of sauce from Chef Boyardee with the perfect amount of garlic. Oh, yeah. Your taste buds would be tingling, D.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be going, oh, give me some Chef Boyardee. Ma, this isn't Chef Boyardee. How are you not making the Chef Boyardee? You'd be loving it.
Yeah, I agree. I wish I could go back in time and have a real Chef Boyardee sauce in Cleveland at the hotel. I would really be all for that. I really like this idea. This is a great stunt to a news. That was educational stunt to a news. All right, thank you, AB. Also, I mean, you know, anti-immigration. If you're anti-immigration, there would have been no Chef Boyardee. So we got to embrace.
Great point.
When we come back here on the show, it's Trash Tuesday. I want to know who or what you're trashing, even if it's me, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Okay, I have to trash this woman yesterday in the supermarket by me. In a supermarket on a Monday afternoon with only basically 5 to 6 to 7 customers who got snippy with me and cursed at me because my cart was going in the wrong direction than the now made up arrows in the aisle. All right, all I did was I needed 5 things. The baby's taking a nap. I tried to run in and out. I don't have time to be playing IKEA and going in and out of aisles. She looks down at me because my cart's facing the wrong way. And instead of even asking me nicely, as we are during a pandemic, I'm wearing a mask on, by the way, I follow all the other rules. She goes, "You're going the wrong way, bleep, bleep." Oh. Cursed at me just like that.
A bleep, bleep.
And I would have ignored it. But the bleep, bleep use really got me. You know, it's a Monday. We're all just trying to, I had a couple things to get. We're all just trying to shop, get in and out.
Wow.
And I turned to her and I said, "Excuse me?" She goes, "Rules are made for a reason, jerk." And she called me a jerk. Whoa. She doubled down. I happened to say something not so nice back to her. I said, "You know what?
Go scratch your bleep."
Yes. Go scratch your bleep. Caused another girl a little further down the aisle to start hysterically laughing. And she said, "I'm going to get a manager." I said, Go get your manager." No manager ever found me. I finished my shopping in peace and I left. So it took me until the end of June to finally get yelled at about going wrong way during these invisible wrong way aisles that the supermarket's made up. But all I want to say is, look, I wear a mask. I think it's stupid to fight against that. There's certain rules we need to follow. If it's a packed Sunday, a packed Saturday, I can understand the use of arrows. But with 5, 6, 7 people on a Monday afternoon, relax on these people feeling entitled to just yell at you about new made-up rules with directions in the aisles. And don't curse at me either. Take a lap, lady.
Trasher.
Household waste goes in this bin.
I have definitely been in violation of those aisles. Those are tough. I found myself, oh boy, I'm going the wrong way. Am I going to get in trouble? But I've not been called a bleep bleep like you were, man.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. She didn't like the ghost scratch answer. She wasn't ready for that, but I wasn't going to take it. I wasn't going to take it at all.
AB, who are you trashing?
DA, I think I'm stealing a trash from Pete, kind of. Is also a trash in lieu of the clerk who can't be here this morning to trash this lady. But yesterday, I was in Dunkin' Donuts. I make my offer, my order. I step to the right to wait for my coffee. A lady walks over the counter behind me and goes, "Can I have a large cold coffee?" And the person at the counter goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of cold brew." And she goes, "No, cold coffee." And she's like, "Yeah, we don't have any more cold brew. It's out. I'm sorry." And the lady, again, like the customer is like perplexed. The clerk is perplexed. And she finally goes, "Do you mean iced coffee?" And she goes, "Yeah, iced coffee." Who calls it ever cold coffee? And this, I mean, this lady is not new. She's not a baby. She's not like from outer space where this is all new to her. I'm assuming she has asked for coffee before and somehow thinks iced coffee is called cold coffee? How is that a thing? And this poor lady at Dunkin' Donuts had no idea what to do. Luckily, it sprung in her head that she meant iced coffee. They could have been there for days debating what cold coffee is. So cold coffee lady is trash. Get her out.
Trash.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Cold coffee. That's good. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
I have a whole list of things today, but I'm going to pick one off of this topic. When I went into a Dunkin' Donuts establishment the other day, and the line is out the door, of course, social distancing, everything, and there's only one person behind the register. There's nobody else. One person at a busy time behind the register. You would think with social distancing and with people trying to you know, get back into the swing of things, you would have maybe another person on duty so the guy that's ordering two boxes of donuts in front of me can get his order quickly and we can move the line along. So you know what? If you're going to practice social distancing, get the staff ready too.
Stinky debris.
Connor Green, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, today I have to trash Bobby Valentine. You know, I come in yesterday. I think he has a fairly interesting quote. I put it in soundcheck and don't think really much of it. Little do I know, Bobby Valentine is a saboteur. He wanted to just sneak on the show and wreak havoc, and he did so much damage that today Lola Bunny winds up in soundcheck, and now Sean doesn't like me anymore, and he's booing me as I'm doing my Trash Tuesday. So Bobby V is ruining my life. Get Bobby V out.
Beep,
Bobby
beep.
V, trash
sanitation him. Just arrived.
What a controversy. We never thought that the eminently likable and very hardworking, ambitious Connor Green would ever be at the center of controversy. But today and yesterday, he has been. So I guess I'm going to piggyback off of the grocery store stuff, because even though there was a guy that tailgated me and gave me the finger the other day, even though Mraz is trying to work on his bicep curls during commercial break, I still think I've got to trash these people going crazy in these grocery stores for having to wear a mask. There's been multiple videos this week. I just don't understand this. First of all, I think it's kind of dopey to fight against wearing a mask, because the one thing we can all agree on is we want the world to go back to normal as quickly as possible. Like, we definitely want sports back, everybody. We definitely want to be able to go to restaurants. We definitely want to be able to go shopping again and go to schools and work. And so the way that we do this is by taking some very easy precautions, which is wearing a mask that's not that hard. Do I forget it sometimes? Yeah. Do I got to go back to the house to get it? Yeah. Is it comfortable? No. But, you know, it just feels like if we all do this, we've proven this in states like New York. If you wear it, it works. So fighting against this just seems to be such a weird fight. But okay, we politicize that. If you go into a store and 99% of the customers are wearing a mask and you're not, and the people that have a sign outside the store that say you got to wear a mask to be in here approach you and say, yeah, you see, everybody else is wearing a mask, you're not, we're going to have to ask you to leave. You don't have the right to fight that. That's their establishment.
That's their business. They get to make those rules. I don't know if people understand this. I know that America is the land of liberty and freedoms and individual liberties, but like, you don't get to make the rules at other people's businesses. So like, let's just say they say, no shirt, we're not going to let you buy carrots today. You got to wear a shirt. You'd have to wear a shirt. And if 99% of the customers are wearing a shirt and you're not, they actually can tell you you've got to leave. You're not wearing a shirt. You ever go into a convenience store that says no shirt, no shoes, no service? That's a thing. And so now it's no mask, no service. And people are freaking out like, I don't have to wear shoes. I don't have to wear a shirt. I can be naked. I want to buy my carrots in this Whole Foods. Like, no, that's not how this works. So please trash them.
Warning, hazardous material.
Ben Volin on Cam Newton to the Patriots next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.